This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are live from the lands of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation in the Victorian Pride Centre. And tonight, Andrew is sticking with us after the news. Good evening, Andrew.
Oh, good evening. It's great to be back in this chair after a long breakaway. July is Pride Month in many parts of the world. It's a chance to be visible, wave the rainbow flag and party. Well, not everyone. The expression of queer pride differs all over the world, and it is certainly not always a party. International LGBT advocacy organisation Outright International have released their third annual report on pride around the globe, which highlights the challenges across the world.
Tonight, we'll get a world view of pride from Noelle Campbell from Equality for All Foundation in Jamaica, Umut Roger Yildirim, a lawyer and LGBT activist from Turkey, and Nadine Smith, the executive director of Equality Florida in the USA. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
So that's one of the challenges that you'll find we will face or have faced as it relates to trying to have pride be successful. But again, how do we measure success? So having pride in the first place is a major success. How we want it to grow over the number of years will continue to be a success. If we had one event in 2015 and we're having 12 events now, we consider that a major success.
What's your favourite Pride event? Perhaps it's a local one. Perhaps you've walked down the street here in St Kilda and had a wow of a time, or maybe you've been to some exotic part of the world and seen a different kind of Pride, or you just had a big party. Maybe Montreal, or maybe you went up to Sydney World Pride.
The international advocacy group Outright International have released their annual Pride Around the World report. This year, it's appropriately titled We Remain Resilient. The report looks at all 193 United Nations member states, as well as three other countries, Kosovo, the occupied Palestinian territories, and Taiwan. Of those countries, it found that in 105 countries, public pride events were held last year. In 63 of these countries, events were held in more than one city. Monaco and Azerbaijan held their first pride celebrations this past year. But in 91 other countries, as far as Outright could ascertain, no public pride events took place in 2022. A number of countries shared their stories of the highs and the lows of staging pride events. We start with Noelle Campbell from the Equality for All Foundation in Jamaica.
So we know globally June is Pride Month. So yesterday I heard a town crier, you know, the car that drives around with the loudspeaker on it. The U.S. Embassy in Kingston has hoisted the Pride flag in celebration for June. And the town crier was announcing their opposition to this movement by the U.S. Embassy. And I say that just to bring up one of the challenges that we face in the community itself as it relates to how LGBT community can and try to celebrate Pride in Jamaica. So specifically now, Pride in Jamaica. Jamaica had our first Pride celebration in 2015. We celebrate and observe Pride in the first week in August, which is August 1 to 7. That week was purposely chosen because that's also when we celebrate two national holidays, Emancipation and Independence. So we colloquially call it Emancipendence Week. This was special because it highlighted the importance of what the country had to overcome to get to both emancipation and independence, and how it relates to the LGBT community trying to aspire to do the same. The first celebration started with like a flash mob, which was extremely scary for most people when you think about putting themselves in a position to be in the public eye. And I think it was so uplifting and heartwarming. Even when you look at some of the videos from that event, I think Elliot Page actually was here at that time as a part of the celebration. So if you search, you'll probably find that bit of information. And so that also, you know, it put so much importance on where we were at the time when JFLAG was founded in 1998. And it took, what, 17 years for us to be able to have our first Pride celebration. So it's a testament to the amount of work that goes into getting to a point where we can do something in the public eye to celebrate the LGBT community. A Tale of Two Cities is what Ohoto titled it. So we also, first Pride was held in Kingston, Jamaica, which is our capital. We basically have a second city, which is, some people call it the second capital, which is Montego Bay. So there's a group out there called Quirtigo Bay as well. But Montego Bay Pride was held for 4 consecutive years, or 3, between 2015 and 2018. It's not been held since 2019, as the mayor at the time decided to block the provisions that would allow safeguarding of the community to have their peaceful demonstration. As Mira mentioned earlier, it's basically a protest in celebration, but a peaceful one at its finest. So as a result of that, like, vendors weren't allowed to offer their spaces and permits to hold events. So that's one of the challenges that you'll find we will face or have faced as it relates to trying to have Pride be successful. But again, how do we measure success? So having Pride in the first place is a major success. How we want it to grow over the number of years will continue to be a success. If we had one event in 2015 and we're having 12 events now, we consider that a major success. We will always face challenges. As I mentioned, with the town crier community, the general population at large, and the fact that we still have laws in our British colonial era, laws that criminalize same-sex sexual activity. So just to throw that in there a little bit as to one of our major challenges as it relates to just existing in our spaces in general, and then why it's important for us to curate and create spaces for the LGBT community, i.e. Pride celebrations. It's a little bit challenging when you think about how our Pride events look. So we won't have a march anymore, because obviously we do still face challenges in terms of safety and security. But what we try to do is we have smaller events during that week. So we'll have like a beach party, a night event, a games night, a movie night. So we have multiple events as ways to engage the community and not truly, truly not to put them at risk, because we have to weigh the pros and the cons as it relates to Pride. And I think I've read multiple situations where they had their first event and then, you know, due to backlash from the community, it was a little bit more challenging, and therefore you don't want to put people at risk, especially an already marginalized and vulnerable community. But as it relates to plans for our future, we are in year 3 of a 5-year decentralization plan as it relates to equality for all and Pride. This means we're increasing community engagement, and by doing so, we have something called Pride Share, which is one of the ways that we get community members to almost apply to host events during Pride. And then what we would do is we would offer support, be it financially, technical support. Financially is always dependent on funding. But we would offer technical support to spread Pride out of Kingston. So right now we had an event a couple months ago in Montego Bay to bridge the gap between Kingston and the rural areas, because it's also important for us to not overlook the fact that we have members of the community who do not live in Kingston, and we also would like to cater to their needs and incorporate them in Pride as best as we can. In the bigger picture, though, resistance to Pride. We have our biggest aggressor, which is called Love March Movement. They probably will fight me on calling their name, but it's okay. We have to I have to say it with my chest. They are remarkably anti-LGBT, remarkably so. They spend a lot of time coming after us. And as a result of that, how that impacts the government and other officials is that when they speak out, it's not in opposition to what we're doing. It's to almost ensure this misalignment. So I think we might be at a point where, had it not been for very loud resistance, there might be almost like a silent tolerance in the government. So it's as if we're not going to overtly support you, but we're also not going to try and bring it down. Our biggest resistance comes from movements, religious entities, and when those two impact the government officials and their voices.
Noel Campbell from Equality for All Foundation in Jamaica with us on Joy 94.9. And coming up, we hear firsthand the changing landscape of pride in Turkey. This is Worldwide Wave.
Our diverse communities have one home, Joy.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to Worldwide Wave.
Your favourite pride events, what have you been to around the world? Andrew, anything that stands out for you?
Well, I haven't been to many around the world. I've only been within Australia. The Melbourne Pride March, of course, in St Kilda is fantastic.
Yep.
And the Gay Games in Sydney in 2022, dating myself there. And, of course, a few Mardi Gras in the 90s.
And Sydney does a party. Well, they did. Yeah. Sydney did a great job on World Pride this year. Got to tip my hat to them there. I've also been to Cambodia when they use tuk-tuks as a part of their, you know, you're trying to ride around in tuk-tuks. Mm. And Amsterdam, what a great event that is, where they run it through the canals and everybody lines the side of the canals. Fantastic pride event.
Sounds amazing.
LGBTIQ people have faced serious threats to their security and human rights simply by attempting to be visible with pride. In some countries, pride is not given the security to operate. In others, there are rules and bans that make events nearly impossible. Yet, pride events continue, big and small, loud and hidden. Global LGBTIQ advocacy group Outright International have released their annual Pride Around the World report, with the detailing the resilience of the rainbow community. Turkey is a classic example. Once staging a large, vibrant pride march, the LGBTIQ community is now openly persecuted by its government. Ümit Roger Yildirim is a lawyer and activist in Turkey, and here he tells their story.
In our first Pride Week in Turkey, actually started around 1993 as a week, but we haven't had the march until 2003. In 2003, we had the first march, the first some pride march with only actually 20 people. There were just 20 people. They just walked basically around like maybe a 500 meter and that was all. And they were really proud of that. So from 2003 to the 2014, actually, we were able to march with tens of thousands of participants in an exciting way. It's in one of the most touristic street in Istanbul, which is called Istiklal Street. Maybe you may heard if you have ever been in Istanbul or in Turkey. But after the 2015, things started to have shifted, and not in a good way. In 2015, the first Istanbul Pride March actually have been banned. So from that point, and since it's entering in its eighth year, the bans we are seeing are everywhere in every city in Turkey. If you are trying to do a Pride March or a Pride Week, a public Pride Week or a public Pride March, you will eventually will face bans. Now we know that, and the bans are always justified on the same reasons, the same, actually, I would say, same global reasons. The reasons that are we would be against the public moral, we will be endangered the community, etc. We always seeing the same many reasons. But on the legal side, since I'm a lawyer and I'm trying to deal with these cases, both in criminal and administrative processes, we have tried to go to the courts for uplifting the decisions, and we have won in so many cases, but still this banning processes continue, and like for, we would say at least for 8 years, the LGBTI community in from Turkey actually cannot exercise their right to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly and demonstration, even though we have these rights on our constitution, and actually Turkey is a part of the European Convention on Human Rights. So, but the LGBTI people cannot exercise their rights. What kind of bans that we've seen? Maybe I can give you some insights, because some of them are really ridiculous. 2019, queer sport events were banned in Istanbul, in Kadıköy. In 2021, a pride picnic, which this park is still a public park, and everyone can go there and do their picnic, but the LGBTI people specifically banned to even gather around at the park. They are now even trying to ban the film screenings. Last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks before, in Istanbul, we had the screening of the Pride movie from 2014, and a foundation tried to do a screening, especially in Pride, but the governor actually decided to ban the film screen, and I think at least 10 people got arrested for just trying to watch a movie about Pride. I mean, in 2022, you are going to see from the report also, in all around Turkey, at least 10 different Pride weeks were banned from the several governors, and for maybe a period of 45 days, I would say. At least 530 people were detained from several occasions. Most of them were from the Istanbul Pride March. Last year also, we have seen for the first time in Turkey's long LGBTI history that a meeting, an anti-LGBTI hate meeting, which is called Big Family Meeting, actually, it was seen in more than 15 cities. I think it's really coincides with the fact that the rising the anti-gender movement in the whole global affects Turkey also, because these movements are really similar to each other. And now we have one of those movements, and they are not many as they think, but they have a much more effect on media and government. So they have their own instrument, and they are trying to do to criminalize the everything that they can do to ban the Pride March or etc. But what is happening in 2023? Nothing has changed since the last year. But we had the elections. We had the presidential and parliamentary elections back in May, and this atmosphere actually that Turkey entered into really showed that the now elected President Erdogan try to use the LGBTIs as the main enemy during his campaign. And now we as the LGBTI associations actually we are waiting closure of our LGBTI association, because we know that it was one of the promises from the President Erdogan also.
From Turkey, that's activist and lawyer Ümit Rodra Yildirim with us on Joy 94.9 as a part of the Outright International report on Pride around the world. He mentioned there, just coming to the end, that they've just come from an election in Turkey. The very right-wing president won again, President Erdogan.
Unfortunately.
And part of a big part of his election campaign was anti-LGBT rhetoric.
Which is so sad and so paradoxical. I spent 3 months in Turkey in the late 1980s, and I can tell you that there's a huge proportion of Turkish men who are bisexual, to say the very least. I just don't understand it. I mean, they had such a thriving pride movement.
Bisexual but hidden perhaps. But yes, the pride movement, as you said there, it got up to 10,000 people as part of their pride events. It was really quite vibrant, and it was really just almost smacked down by the current president. So
terrible.
Certainly another 5 years of that to come for the rainbow community in Turkey. Yeah.
Mm.
Coming up on Joy 94.9, the USA is moving from a bastion of free speech to a bastion of hate speech. This is Worldwide Wave.
Joy, out, loud, proud.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia,
for Worldwide Wave.
You're on the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time. It's Worldwide Wave. And a special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or go to iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, and don't forget to leave a review.
If ever there is an example of a country where rights won can turn into rights lost, it is the good old US of A. LGBT rights advanced over the past decades with changes to health access, military service, and marriage equality. But America's LGBTI community is now under siege. You've probably heard of some of the attacks and the massive number of anti-LGBT laws being created in parts of the USA, but is it all just part of a cycle? Nadine Smith, Executive Director of Equality Florida, spoke as part of a forum on Pride around the world by global advocacy group Outright International.
I'm reminded, I'll give away my age, I was in college in the mid-80s, and I was invited to a conference in England, and it was from that conference would form what was then known as the International Gay and Lesbian Youth Organization. And it was an awakening for me as someone who'd grown up in the panhandle of Florida in a pretty small town to see an international gathering of people willing to stand up to their government and push back. And I saw some countries where not only was the government supportive, but was actually funding the efforts. And I saw other countries where people had to disguise the purpose of their trip to England. As a student conference, so that they would legally be able to travel. And so I met people from around the world and came to understand that what we were experiencing in the United States and what was happening all over the world, they were connected. They were connected by a very toxic ideology that is still very much alive. And that, in listening to the previous panelists, it just reminds me that this is sort of a wheel that keeps turning. By that, I mean, we keep experiencing every few decades these moral panics, this demonization, this vilification that leads to, you know, stochastic violence. It encourages hate crimes against us. It produces politicians who try to cultivate hate toward us as part of their political stance. And the reason I think of it as a wheel is, you know, I look at what American evangelicals are doing in other countries and what they export to other countries. And they're the same ones using those same tactics here in the United States. And when you talk about, you know, what leadership in Turkey is doing, our governor in Florida is using Putin and Erdogan as guidebooks for the policies. You know, you can see a one-to-one correspondence between the legislation they have sought in this wave of legislation all across the country, where Florida is very much the front line. It is banning trans kids from playing sports, which quickly became banning trans kids from accessing gender-affirming care and criminalizing their parents and doctors if they provide it, which quickly became forcibly detransitioning adult transgender folks through paperwork, but, you know, by creating too many barriers for people to get access to medicine. It has become a purge of any LGBTQ content in public schools. First, they said, oh, it's just K-3. And they introduced very vague language so that school districts would fear draconian punishments and go well beyond the letter of the law, which was vague and hard to interpret to the hateful spirit of the law. And so there's a group called Moms for Liberty, which is really this AstroTurf right-wing group that's just been labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And their whole purpose is to go through, drive out any school officials that actually care about protecting all students and respecting all families and creating an environment where all young people can learn. And instead, they have taken down anti-bullying resources that include LGBTQ young people. They've eliminated Florida's participation in the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which a lot of different foundations and nonprofits use to track whether the programs that they are initiating are actually having a positive effect for young people, reducing homelessness and other things. And they have gone in, you know, I think of the majority of superintendents have been ousted or resigned in the midst of this purge. They have gone in and completely, you know, just taken out school presidents and stocked their boards with right-wing anti-LGBT ideologues. And so while Florida is not the only place that these things are happening, Florida is the place where all of them are happening. And they have really targeted, while the impact impacts the entire LGBTQ community, they have targeted people's lack of familiarity with the trans community, their lack of familiarity with, you know, just everyday people. It is a very toxic but very coordinated attack that we are experiencing. And America, because we have both Donald Trump and a governor who wants to usurp Donald Trump for the presidency, we have sort of a perfect storm for this level of hatred. And there's another facet of this, and I don't know how this plays out on the international scene, but, you know, I don't know if people have read Stephen King's It, the book It, where every few decades, this evil clown sort of shows up in the sewer and his presence just creates division and cruelty. And in Florida, you know, when I was born, there was something called the Johns Committee that was still in effect that was purging, quote, homosexuals, anyone they didn't agree with politically and civil rights advocates out of our school system. And then when I was in elementary school, there was a woman named Anita Bryant who started this crusade for our children. And she took those same messages that basically call LGBTQ people groomers, a threat to children, not for anything we do, just our existence. But when they began to purge books in the schools, they got rid of a book called And Tango Makes Three, which is about the true story of two male penguins who are raising a penguin chick, an abandoned egg, and they labeled it pornographic. Simply because there were two male penguins. There's so much projection on our community that is intended to create not only shifts in law, but in the culture so that violence against us can do what even government laws won't. So it really means a lot to me to hear exactly what is happening and read this report and see that resilience and be reminded that we are part of that and that we have a role both in stopping the exportation through American evangelicals to other countries, this level of hatred. And we also recognize that many of these same policies that you all are fighting on the global stage are being reintroduced in the United States by politicians who are part of that cycle.
That's Nadine Smith, Executive Director of Equality Florida, with us on Joy 94.9, speaking there as a part of Outright International's release of their latest report on Pride around the world. I found that interesting, the whole cycle thing where, you know, I was trying to work out from what Nadine was saying, how long the cycle of anti-LGBT thing comes around. Is it 20, 30 years the same things come up? It might even be sooner than that, actually.
She's more optimistic than me. I don't see that it looks like a cycle this time. It's just so all-encompassing, and everything that she was saying made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It sounds like Nazi Germany purging books, and next they'll be burning books.
It is really retrograde, and it's not every state, but there's certainly a great quantum of states doing it.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I was thinking too about, so after marriage equality was successful here in Australia, there has been a pushback. So it seems when there's a significant gain, there's a significant pushback as well in terms of trying to, regress rights.
Yeah, that's true. Fortunately, we're not as puritanical as the US.
True, but the US exports the anti-gay playbook, if you like. You know, they've the evangelical church is going to Africa to teach them how to, you know, whip up a storm over LGBT issues, and that seems to be, you know, going all over the world.
Yeah, it certainly worked in Africa, didn't it?
Yeah.
The way they're going.
There are some good news stories in the report, though, in terms of pride around the world, so I encourage you to go to Outright's website, outrightinternational.org, to see the status of pride around the world.
Listen live or on demand from wherever you are in the world. Stream us live on joy.org.au or subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast platform to World Wide Wave.
This is Georgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride on World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
A big thank you to all of our guests tonight. Noel Campbell from Equality for All Foundation Jamaica, Umit Roger Yildirim, a lawyer and activist from Turkey, and Nadine Smith, Executive Director of Equality Florida. You can find out more about that report at outrightinternational.org.
And we have to thank everybody who sent us Facebook messages. There was Francis, Liz, Richard, Phoebe, and a whole heap more. And that's W3JOY Joy on Facebook.
And we send you all sorts of news stories from around the world throughout the week, so just follow us for all those. Behind the scenes, we have a sensational team, our podcaster Peter and our social media master Dean. Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.